The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
It's The Blitz on a Friday in Webster, Texas. Come on by Saloon Door Brewing. Me and A.J. hanging out until 7 while Fred is up in Canada doing his thing. We were during the break discussing condiments, and you voiced your displeasure with sour cream.
Sour cream's gross.
Which is incredibly popular, extremely cheap, by
I'm
the way.
I'm against sour cream, and I'm against ranch. I swear ranch is what's made American women fat.
And sour cream.
American women think ranch, instead of a salad dressing, is a condiment. So they just like, oh, we can just dip whatever we want in ranch. It's related to salad. It's salad dressing. It's got to be good for you. I remember I went to, this was years ago, Double Dave's Pizza. And I like me some Double Dave's.
Amen.
And Double Dave's, as you know, has a buffet set up. And I saw a woman put together a large, large plate of pizza, take it over to the salad bar, and just dump ranch dressing all over the top of it. It made me want to vomit. I just don't get it. For me, condiments, I like hot sauce. And I like a spicy mustard. If I can get spicy mustard, that's good. Or, like, there's some places that have, like, some sort of special sauce. Like, Raising Cane's has that sauce.
Yes.
That Raising Cane's sauce is good on everything they serve at Raising Cane's. So you could mix that in the lemonade and make it taste better.
I know how big a fan you are of that. Have you tried it on things outside of the Raising Cane's menu, or do you
keep
it exclusive?
No, the problem is I eat it all gone. It's gone by the time.
He eats it all gone.
When I was in high school, my perfect condiment was McDonald's hot mustard.
Oh, I forgot about that.
McDonald's, I haven't eaten McDonald's in years.
Me neither.
But I would order hot mustard, and I would ask them to give me as much hot mustard as they would give me. Like, and back then, I could put down a 50-piece of nuggets and not even blink when I was in high school. I had that that metabolism
God,
going.
Those were the days.
Yeah, now I'd be crippled if I did that. But hot mustard is good on nuggets. It's good on fries. It's good on burgers. It's good on everything at McDonald's. I haven't eaten there in a long time. Now I don't know. I don't know if I have a perfect condiment anymore that I could just get it, like buy at the grocery store.
What is a fantastic place to people watch as it pertains to eating is Golden Corral.
Oh,
are you a fan?
No,
it's a place I can.
I'm
do.
A human.
It's a place I could go like once a year.
And you have four kids. I understand why you would go to Golden Corral,
but it's never our idea. My mother-in-law will text, "Hey, you guys want to go to Golden Corral? I'm buying," and I'm like, "All right, I got four kids plus me and the wife.
Four
Let's
kids
do
who
this.
Eat big kids,
man. Well, the two little ones are little. They still graze a little bit. The older two just mow. But to go in there and just watch the wildlife at work." There is no shame inside Golden Corral. It's like Fight Club.
No.
We don't talk about it. And there's something that sets in about 45 minutes later called Golden Corral Regret, where you wish you'd never even heard of the brand before. I called it quits when they introduced the, what do they call it, the Chocolate Wonderfall.
It's like a fondue fountain of chocolate?
Yep. And I'm pretty sure as someone who managed restaurants for over a decade, it violates every single law and commandment of
That's
every safety
like.
And sanitation. People were dipping chicken wings in that thing.
Oh.
It's not a thing where you go in and they. It's because of stupid commercials, Golden Corral. You did this to yourself. It's not a deal where you go in and run it off into a glass. People were walking up there with food and sticking it under the waterfall, and then standing there. and
because
eating it.
They think that that waterfall, once it goes onto your food and whatever misses your food, they think that goes away.
Ugh.
They don't realize that cycles back up into the waterfall, and now I'm getting chicken wing flavored chocolate.
I will say I had to go do safe driving class at a Golden Corral one time. And they hooked us up with the breakfast buffet. I will say that was kind of strong.
What's your least favorite chain restaurant?
Man. Panda. What's the
Panda Express?
Yes. Can't do it.
Okay. What about like a
followed closely by Chipotle?
Because I think Panda's like a drive-through. Like, do you have any like sit-down restaurants
that I don't care for?
Yeah, we're like a full-service restaurant.
Yeah, I'm not a Chili's fan.
I don't like Chili's either, but Chili's greater than Applebee's. Applebee's, I would rather starve like a Kosovo refugee than eat at Applebee's. I would rather be curled up in a ball like under a blanket and not eating.
I was an AGM at one in Lexington, Kentucky for almost 2 years.
No joke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can say without, like, getting a slander lawsuit or something, but back in those days, I was amazed how much stuff was microwaved.
Ugh.
You know, they got a big-ass broiler 14 feet long, and steaks and burgers, all that stuff's done right. I was shocked at day-to-day how much stuff comes out of them.
I'm against Applebee's.
Yeah. But, man,
You don't eat Chipotle, huh?
I'm not a fan.
Because people started getting sick?
I was before that. I mean, and people outside of Texas love Chipotle. It's because they don't know any better. If I can go to Freebirds.
Freebirds greater than Chipotle.
Absolutely.
What's wild is Chipotle, there was a time when it was like the fastest growing restaurant in the country.
Didn't they close for a day one time?
Because of that salmonella or whatever they had going.
Yeah.
And now I don't know anybody who like, oh yeah, I go to Chipotle all the time. They don't. I'd rather eat off a taco truck than go to Chipotle.
Yeah, I would.
And Lord knows what I'm getting off a taco truck.
Best tacos I ever had were in San Antonio at this place used to be right on 35. They sold tacos and passport pictures. And the tacos were like 75 cents.
That's good.
It was so damn good. I guess they supported their business with the volume of passport pictures that they sold. While you're in line for your tacos, you step to the right and get your picture taken for your passport, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's no longer there, unfortunately.
That's
but it's a little strip mall. It was pretty cool.
That means they probably violated some sort of health code.
That's the other thing, man. As someone who's in that business for a long time, I have issues with eating at places where I suspect they get their goods from unapproved vendors, as I will refer to it. But it tastes so damn good.
Yeah.
Taco trucks are so good. And I don't know where they get their stuff from.
I'm pro food truck.
Could be an Uncle Tio's backyard. Uncle's backyard.
Yeah.
I don't know if he grills it himself. I don't know. But it's so damn good.
All right. I'm getting a lot of people have texted me today or tweeted me today asking if I've heard Jay-Z's new record.
444?
Yeah. Have you heard this yet?
I haven't. I saw Kendrick Lamar tweet that it was a revelation to him. I'll get around to it over the weekend maybe. But
that Kendrick Lamar record's pretty good.
It is.
If this is better than that, I'm impressed.
I didn't see him say it was better than his, but he referred to Jay-Z as a master. It was a lesson from the master.
Okay.
I think is what I saw. 832, you're wrong. You love Chipotle. It's not better than Freebirds.
Chipotle's not
better
than Freebirds.
Delete your account, sir.
I won't accept that. It's not because it's just a lie. That's a burrito lie.
713, we'd like to know where Cheddar's rests in your chain.
It's a place I don't go to.
I think they're strong.
I'll be honest, though. There's not a lot of chain restaurants I go to anymore.
No, because you're too busy chasing barbecue, bro.
Yeah.
You don't have time. Money.
I'm almost to the point in my life where I've phased out chain restaurants. One chain that still sucks me in, Carrabba's. I will mess
when you
with
can
Carrabba's.
Find them. We had one near us that closed, and it reopened as a Whataburger.
I will mess with Whataburger too,
of course. How did we not get your barbecue thing sponsored? That seemed like an easy mark.
I mean, I don't know.
You would have had to do more work. Like you probably would have had to do like a video thing or. You would have had to put more work into it, which I understand why you wouldn't want to. But, dude, if I had known about that, we could have.
Maybe I'll work something up when I finish, and that'll be part of my deal to get Eric Sandler fired from Culture Map, and I'll take his job.
I think you should just challenge him to a straight-up fight.
I think
his cardio would abandon him at the walkout.
You're probably right.
I think I'm right.
One solid leg kick, I win that thing.
What do you think his walkout music would be?
What's that? Weird Al song?
Yankovic.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Oh. What was yours, man? I mean, you've had a handful of fights. Do you use one song?
No. My last fight, I may have been saved for myself. I was going to walk out to Katy Perry Roar because that's my jam. But the Access TV, the people that were putting on the legacy fights, they were tired of paying the rights for music, I guess.
Mm.
So they didn't let us choose a song. We had to choose a genre. And
should have went smooth jazz just to screw with them.
The options were metal, hip-hop, EDM, or cultural. And the cultural they had set up for people who wanted to walk out to Tejano. And so I was just petty about it, and I said, I want cultural music.
Sweet.
And they said, what culture? And I said, I want African drums and like an African beat.
Hell yes.
African drum music. And that's what I walked out to my last fight.
Man alive. That's great, dude. Because screw you, Dad. What does he say?
Yeah,
belt or wrench? Wrench,
yeah,
Dad.
That's what they get.
Screw you, old man.
Yeah.
I think I hear Tyler playing us out. Let's go pay some bills. We are live at Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, Mike Liebeschock sitting in with A.J. Hoffman until 7. Get on down here to Saloon Door Brewing. As you can tell, we're throwing a couple back. They're going to be hosting the Beer Olympics to benefit the Longest Day Alzheimer Foundation.
You're not doing any events,
about,
huh?
10 minutes. I don't think we're doing events. I don't think I've had enough beer yet.
Okay.
To compel myself to get involved. One of our listeners who hits me up on Twitter quite often, Jason, who just left, alerted Barry and I to the fact that Hostess is putting out a new brand or a new variety of Twinkie that should be hitting the stores this week or next. It is chocolate cake with a peanut butter filling to it.
That's not a Twinkie then.
I don't think it is, but I don't like regular ones. So this one.
You don't like regular Twinkies?
I don't.
Oh,
man. There was a time in life when I was a kid where I would have eaten them without even thinking, but I think around the age of 8, all of a sudden, you know, I had a different taste for stuff. But, man, when you go to the supermarket, there's like 26 varieties of Oreo now.
Yeah.
It has to stop at some point, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's
they've,
apple
they've had
cinnamon,
some bad ones.
Caramel apple. There's a new one that's – they did one filled with marshmallow peeps at Easter time.
Watermelon.
Which I'm pretty sure gave you cancer.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
I'm not all for that. At some point,
you just
gotta
like
go
the
back.
OG?
Double stuff at the most. I know people who love
like
the thin
ones. I like the golden
ones.
Oreos.
Those aren't bad because I have a kid with food dye allergies and he can eat those with no problem.
Yeah, those are good. But I don't like weird stuff in my Oreos. And like, I don't know, Twinkies, that's one of those things. I think Twinkies are good. Like, I think the most you want to do to a Twinkie is when
oh God.
Zingers put icing on top of a Twinkie.
Yes.
Like, that was a good move.
What about the pink ones that were around and you could kind of peel it off like it was
like
paint?
I don't like that.
Yeah, there was definitely carcinogens in that as well.
What kind of snack cake are you into? What's your Little Debbie of choice?
I'm not a Little Debbie fan. I'm a Tasty Cake fan.
Okay.
Which slowly made their way to this market 10 years ago. So butterscotch crimpets are good. Their coffee cake is fantastic. I mean, you know what? Star Crunches are badass.
Star Crunch is good.
Are my jam.
And they have two different sizes of them now. So if you don't want to feel like a complete pig, you can get the small ones now, which are pretty damn
good. My granny used to have Star Crunch in a cookie jar at her house. But then I started thinking, I'm allowed to eat one Star Crunch every time I come to my granny's house,
one?
Which was like twice a year.
That's teasing.
Yeah. But I also started thinking, like, I feel like this is one box of Star Crunch that my granny's had for like 8 years.
Your entire adolescence
yeah.
was the same box.
It was the same ones, and they never got bad. So that's disconcerting to me. When things don't go bad, I don't like that.
Someone on the text message says I sound like Alec Baldwin from NPR when he was doing sweaty balls.
Could be.
We can do that the rest of the show if you like.
I would like that.
We can do the next 5 segments on the wonder that is wheat flour. Take your call, 713-780-3776.
Fred's going to be so pissed when he gets back.
A flower, a circle, a smiling guy. So many ways to dot the I. We'll take your calls, 713-780-ESPN.
It seems fair.
Are you still with AJ is the Real?
I am. I don't change it up.
Am I wrong in thinking that's a tribute to the Iron Sheik?
It is absolutely a tribute to the Iron Sheik.
It popped into my brain the other day. The Iron Sheik was on tweeting about someone. I completely forgot he had the best Twitter account in the world for a while. And then I forgot about him, and then he popped up last week talking about someone. I don't remember what it was.
That's why I became AJ is the Real, because he tweeted at me that I am the Real.
You are the Real.
Yeah.
AJ Hoffman.
Yeah.
You are not the donkey.
Yeah.
Did you actually have him on?
Yeah.
Was he coherent?
Sort of.
He's in his mid-80s.
Yeah.
He was old when Hulk Hogan beat him in 82 or 83. Yeah. He was already old. He was like an Olympic medalist.
You were like a big pro wrestling guy back in the day, right?
Back in the day, yeah.
Who was your favorite?
Superfly Snuka when I was a kid. First show I ever went to.
Is Superfly Snuka like a rapist?
I think he's dead now.
But he was a rapist, right?
Suspected rapist, yes.
Or like a probable rapist,
yeah.
Even.
The first show that I ever went to was at the Philadelphia Spectrum, which is the best place to see anything, whether it was a Sixers game, a Flyers game, and everyone was on that card. It wasn't televised or anything. This is just when house shows were awesome. Wild Samoans, Snuka. There was this before Hogan was champion, I'm pretty sure.
Was Andre the Giant there?
Andre the Giant was there. Big John, he fought Big John Studd for like the 5 billionth time.
Did he destroy him?
Of course he destroyed him.
Andre the Giant was my favorite wrestler ever.
When I saw him up close for the first time, I thought he was a monster. I thought he was Groot.
You didn't think he was a real person, right?
There was no way. And then there was a t-shirt you could buy that had a scale handprint of his on the front that they sold at WWF shows back in the day. And I never bought merch, but enough people had it. They're like, that can't be real. It absolutely was. And the stories about him, drinking 32 beers in the lobby of a hotel.
Oh, and not even getting drunk.
There was one story about how he was so drunk in a match that he fell on the mat and some dude put him in a rest hold until he woke up for like 12 minutes.
It's crazy.
So why were you big back in the day? A fan of...
I wasn't really that crazy about it ever. Like when I was in high school is when like the big explosion was. Like with the Rock,
mid '80s,
and Stone Cold, like those guys,
the Attitude Era,
and NWO, that stuff that come out, like that was a big deal, but it wasn't necessarily like my thing. But I always like went back to the old days. I always liked Andre the Giant. He was the only wrestler I was like, I think that guy's the best.
713 texting in. Yes, I live in Katy. He says there's a Carrabba's at Grand Parkway and Fry. I've never seen this. Now, were you telling me that the franchises lost some of the magic that the original corporate ones had?
No, the original Carrabba's originated here.
Yeah.
And the original Carrabba's is greater than any of the – it's kind of like Ninfa's.
Yeah.
Like, you could go to – I don't even know where the other Ninfa's are now.
I saw one in Dallas, driving back from Oklahoma last week.
But there used to be one like West Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, those are fine. But it's not the same food you're getting at the original Ninfa's.
Right.
The same goes for Carrabba's.
Might be the best rice I've ever had, if I must say.
At Ninfa's?
Mexican, oh my goodness. But yeah, this is one on Grand Parkway and Fry. Maybe I'm thinking Johnny Carino's, I'm getting them confused.
Johnny Carino's is gross.
That's why they're gone.
Yeah.
That's why they're gone. 713 says it's all about Fig Newtons.
I like Fig Newtons.
And doses. They do weird things to your system.
I used to really like Swiss cake rolls. That was my go-to, Little Debbie snack cake.
Was it white cake that was rolled up?
No, it was chocolate cake, and it had icing in the middle.
Sounds like a ding-dong or a ho-ho.
Kind of like that, but a little bit different.
And
I like oatmeal cream pies. I know nobody else likes oatmeal cream pies.
My oldest kid loves them. He would eat an entire box in a sitting. And now I'm having flashbacks from
ding-dongs. And they're healthy because they're oatmeal.
Back in the day when we'd go on field trips, our folks would wrap a Coca-Cola in tin foil. As if that would somehow hold in the coldness.
Okay.
And it wasn't just my parents. It was every kid.
This was before Yeti was invented?
We'd go to the Washington Zoo or whatever it was, Fort McHenry in Baltimore, for a field trip that we went to 4 times a year. I've seen the largest American flag in the world like 500 times, I think, at Fort McHenry. And, yeah, all these kids busting out brown paper bag lunches with a Coke or a Sprite or Dr. Pepper wrapped in one layer of tinfoil, which didn't do anything.
No.
My dad would freeze it and think that would work.
AKA says, thoughts on the new M&M with caramel in it? Have you had that?
Yes, that was my next point after Oreo. That's the other thing that has about 85 different variations is M&M's. I am a fan of the caramel M&M's.
I haven't had caramel M&M's.
So good.
I do like peanut butter M&M's, and I really like mint M&M's.
You get the coffee ones?
I've not. I don't like coffee.
Mm.
And mint.
I haven't had mint yet.
Mint Oreos, also strong. Specifically
frozen.
If you put them in the freezer, yeah.
That's the old trick with Thin Mints from the Girl Scouts.
Yep.
And then make a milkshake out
That's
of them.
That's how you do it.
It'll change your life.
That's how you do
you'll
it.
You'll find religion if you didn't have it before that.
And David corrected me. Jimmy Snuka is not an alleged rapist or probable rapist. He's an alleged murderer or probable murderer.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he allegedly murdered his girlfriend.
Yeah, and now he passed away from cancer, I believe, not long ago. Little Debbie Nutty Bars, hands down the best from 832.
Nutty Bars are good.
Those are the wafers with the cream in the middle?
No, there's no cream. It's just like layered wafer and chocolate and peanut butter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn, this feels like Houston game day. We're talking so much.
Jesse says, what about Christmas tree cakes?
Any holidays? No.
I like holiday snack cakes.
Zebra cakes are really good.
So, yeah, zebra cake is the originator, but then all they do is take a zebra cake and put it in the shape of the holiday.
They
whether
make it green.
It be Valentine's Day or Easter or Christmas or Halloween, they turn it into something that's basically a zebra cake shaped like that holiday.
225 says Halloween Oreos are the greatest of all time.
No.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
You're getting into, you know, it's not a color-founded nation.
See, this is the thing.
Yeah.
This is why I don't read the text.
Oh, I've omitted so many of them. Don't forget moon pies.
I'm not a moon pie guy.
Apparently, they're only good with RC Cola, and you have to shop at Bass Pro for your groceries to eat those.
I don't like marshmallow that much.
No. That's why Peeps are disgusting.
Yeah, I don't like Peeps. I don't like anything made of marshmallow, really.
Marshmallows are, except the occasional s'more.
The occasional s'more is fine.
If you have 5 pounds of Hershey bar.
But even then, I want a lot of chocolate and a lot of graham cracker and just a little bit of marshmallow.
Christmas tree cosmic brownies are the best thing ever. That is outside of my pay grade. I haven't seen those before.
I haven't either.
That sounds like it's up your alley, though. We're at Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. We'll be here with you until 7. Let's take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Mike Liebeschock and A.J. Hoffman with you. Live at Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. Get on down here. We'll be around till 7 very shortly, minutes away from the longest day Beer Olympics to benefit all the longest day Alzheimer Foundation. So by all means, get on down here and check that out. Generally on Fridays in this segment, Fred and A.J. welcome in R.J. Bell.
Today.
From pregame.com, AJ is tied up in a meeting. He's got something going on, but he has hooked us up.
I think that he really just didn't want to do a segment with me when Fred wasn't here.
Oh, that was about me.
I don't think he knows you.
How about if I well, that's the reason why.
I don't know. Turn around. Let me see the back of your jersey. I don't know you, bro.
I wear a jersey.
I think that's what he said to you.
That's probably what happened.
But I think he didn't want to work with me without Fred. Fred's his boy. That's his safety net, I think.
So RJ was good enough to hook us up with senior college football analyst, also from pregame.com, Brad Powers. Welcome to the Blitz, Brad. What's going on?
Hey, not much. Appreciate you guys having me on this afternoon.
Hey, no problem. I know you are the senior college football analyst out there at pregame.com. And we were just talking about this. Once the NBA season ends, our minds kind of shift to football, and I'm sure that's the same case for you, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Obviously baseball it's popular out here, but a lot of guys are similar to me where we're football, basketball guys. We enjoy our summers. We enjoy having a couple of months off, and plus, you know, it takes a couple months to dive into 130 college football teams, so It's kind of the dog days of summer, and when you're not daily grinding on the Major League Baseball side of things, you're starting to peek towards football. And keep in mind, you know, preseason even starts here on Thursday, August the 3rd, so we're really only about a little over a month away from it getting started.
One of the things for me, I know, and I'm curious how much time you spend on this, if you're a guy who's trying to win money betting college football, how much time do you spend on mid-majors compared to the power conferences?
Believe it or not, more time, because I think there can be more value on the Group of Five conferences, just because, you know, especially this time of year, and Vegas has really, you know, extended the season as far as they've really moved up the betting calendar. They've been releasing week one lines, you know, right around Memorial Day weekend. And look, if you're following, you know, teams like Houston and you know, UTSA, schools like that, and South Alabama from the Sun Belt, there's a good chance that you could know a little bit more about that team than the bookmaker. And the beauty of betting college football this time of year is you're not, you know, worried about betting syndicates, the entire world market, whether it be the public, the sharps, or whoever. It's just your handicapping and power rating line versus the bookmaker's power rating line. And a lot of times you'll find your best value of the season. The only negative is if you're going to lay that money down, obviously they're going to hold your bets for 3-4 months at a time, depending on if you're betting a season win total or a week one game or whatnot. But clearly, Group of Five conferences, the best value and the best time to find that value is this time of year.
I know you guys are out in Vegas. Word is maybe we're starting to gain some traction on sports betting being more nationwide. What have you heard about that? And is that something that Vegas is really hoping isn't the case?
No, actually we are, because, I mean, look, if there's anyone that knows how to regulate the gambling industry, obviously there's no other state that has the experience that Vegas has. And look, you know, it's first off, the major takeaway is the Supreme Court has decided to hear the case as far as New Jersey trying to get the legalized sports betting. It's significant because the Supreme Court only hears 1 out of 75 cases. The U.S. Solicitor General advised against it. So the fact that the Supreme Court, you know, it's rare for them not to listen to this advice. I think the chances are it at least getting legalized at multiple states. You know, I used to say in the last 6 months to a year, maybe the over-under would be 5 years. I think if the Supreme Court case goes well here this upcoming fall, I mean, there's a good chance by the end of 2019 that you know, multiple states have it. And look, Vegas, you know, obviously we like being the one-stop shop, but we also have the experience on, you know, knowing what to do. And a lot of the Vegas casinos and sports books, obviously, that's opportunity for them to grow and open up shop in different states. So they're all for it as well.
So here in Houston, the big news this week is Chris Paul coming to the Rockets. How has that affected the betting odds for the Rockets? How's it affected the betting odds for the Clippers as far as the 2018 season?
Yeah, we'll start off with the Rockets. You know, they were right around 40-1 to win it all. Obviously, the Warriors are the clear-cut favorites, followed by the Cavs. 40-1 last week. Now they're down to 20-1. And then on the flip side of things, the Clippers losing a guy like Chris Paul. You know, they were right around 65-66-1 to win it all. They're down to 150-1. And I thought that, you know, maybe the most intriguing odds change that I've seen in the last week with the Chris Paul trade was actually the Spurs going from 12-1 to win it all. Now with that extra competition there in the West, with Paul going the Rockets, the Spurs are down to 20-1. So they have the exact same odds that the Rockets do right now if you're taking an average of the future odds to win the NBA championship in 2018.
How much of that is the Rockets apparently are getting better and the Spurs were a team that was rumored to be high in the Chris Paul sweepstakes?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, the Spurs were probably, you know, at least maybe, you know, 50-50 chance at that point, or they might even been the overwhelming favorite to get them. I mean, they would have went from 12-1 probably to 8-1-ish. And, you know, you can't move them too much because the Warriors would still be a better team. But, yeah, I think you're on to something there, the fact that they didn't get them. And let's face it, the Spurs, you know, are an aging team, at least a couple of their starters, obviously. So, I mean, it would have been key to get an extra addition like a Chris Paul in that lineup.
Brad Powers, the senior college analyst from pregame.com, joining us on the program. All right, this is Mike Liebeschock's bread and butter here. What are the odds? What are we looking at if we want to bet on 4th of July on the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? What are we looking at? Who are the dark horses if we're trying to bet against Joey Chestnut, is there any value in that? What are we looking at this year?
I would not advise betting against Joey Chestnut. And let's break it down.
Is he the Warriors favorite. Of hot dogs?
Yeah, for hot dogs. I mean, his over-under, at least by eaten by the winner, 69.5. He ate a total of 70 last year. Now, he did lose a couple years ago to Matt Stoney, and it was kind of a fluke. Matt Stoney had his best performance ever in the hot dog eating contest, and Chestnut just happened to have an off day. Similar to an NFL team like the Patriots or a major college football team like Alabama coming off a rare loss. Chestnut motivated last year, eat 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's the record. He's right now a minus 350 to even a minus 400 favorite, meaning you got to bet $350 to win 100 or even $400 to win 100. If you're looking for maybe a dark horse, you know, Stoney's the second overall favorite there, but, you know, his specialty's more like moon pies and peeps as far as him holding, you know, records and eating championships. You know, Carmen Sincotti is one that he's only 24 years old. Now, his record's 42 hot dogs, but I think he's got some, you know, some upside there. So you're looking for a long shot. He might be your guy, but I'm going to tell you guys, I am not personally betting against Joey Chestnut. I think he wins it again. That'll be his 10th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship if he wins on the 4th.
Is he now the greatest hot dog eater ever? Has he surpassed Kobayashi, the great Kobayashi?
Yeah, I think he has, and particularly with him, obviously rebounding from that 2015 performance by eating the record, and he actually ate 73 hot dogs at a qualifier last year, so I don't think he's showing any signs of letting up. So, yeah, I think he's the greatest right now of all time, and I don't think he's done either.
The best part of that is for his legacy, he's done it without having to build a super team around him.
That's true. He's done it all alone.
Nicely done.
Will there ever be a woman hot dog champion?
No, I don't believe so. And look,
women
think
just can't
more than
do
anything.
What men can do, right?
Yeah, I just not sure that that's possible, but not anytime soon. Genetically speaking, I just think obviously the men have dominated the event.
Well, that's what John McEnroe said about Serena. He got a lot of grief. Hopefully you do not get the same grief. That is Brad Powers, the senior college analyst at pregame.com. Appreciate you picking up RJ's slack this week, and have a good weekend, my man.
Hey, right back at you guys. You enjoy your 4th of July weekend.
All right, that's Brad Powers. You can follow him at BradPowers7 on Twitter. And, of course, you can check him out on pregame.com.
To be fair, I was going to ask him an NBA question.
What were you going to ask
him? It's all good. No, I was curious, not that it would necessarily put them over. We talked about this
I'll
earlier
answer
in the show.
Go ahead,
If the Rockets were to somehow work some kind of sorcery to get Paul George here,
they would be the third
how
favorite.
How much would those odds change?
They would be curious. The third favorite.
I don't have the patience like you guys to bet long-term like that.
Yeah.
I could never do
that. I don't like to do it either. I don't like to bet futures.
I'd be so impatient.
The one time that I did do it for the NBA was when I had a feeling that LeBron was going to go back to the Cavs. Before he did, the Cavs were 30-1 to win the title. And I bet on the Cavs to win the title, and they ended up, of course, running into the Warriors 2 years ago. And I knew they weren't going to win, so I had to hedge off and like basically win some money instead of 30-1. But that could have been a pretty big hit for me. It ended up not working out.
So would PG-13 or whatever his number would be, 31, would that get them to like 10-1?
I bet it gets them to 10-1, maybe 8-1.
Okay.
It doesn't put them ahead of the Cavs, and it doesn't put them ahead of – obviously doesn't put them ahead of the Warriors.
That said, good to know no Eater X, no Gravy Brown as dark horses at Coney Island this 4th of July. It is the Blitz live at Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. We'll be right back.
Clock and grab your job.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back and welcome in. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. No Fred Fowler. He is in the Great White North having a couple Elsinores. He's not into the – yeah, he is a craft beer guy like you.
Who is?
Fred. But yeah. Unlike you. I think he's a simpler man.
He's a simpler man, yeah.
Okay. So he is –
He finds something he likes, he digs in, and he only really likes stouts.
Really?
Yeah, he only likes dark beer.
Okay. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. I drink many varieties of beer.
Doesn't seem like he'd be into the dark.
He's into the dark, like
all
you.
Right. Girl, not like me. But it's all good. Patrick on Twitter says he's never heard someone break down competitive eating like that, especially unprepared at a moment's notice. Thank you, Patrick. I'm not sure I broke it down. But that said, I do watch it every year. I am fascinated by it every year. They had a deal back when, God, I don't think it was the Nashville Network still back then. Then it became Spike, and it was like 85 different channels. They had a competitive eating contest on Thanksgiving one year. And it was entire turkeys. And it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen. And I love turkey. Don't get me wrong. Watching guys dig in like they just gotten off a raft for 3 days, you know, 3 months at sea.
Yeah.
Hot dogs are much easier to watch, I guess.
Are you, like, on Thanksgiving, what kind of turkey do you like? You like the traditional, like,
you know what?
In the oven turkey?
The wife has gone to brining it for 3 or 4 days ahead of time, and then we do it in the oven. I have not, and I won't as long as I'm renting. I'm not going to fry one.
Right.
Like, people hook up that bondage gear in the backyard with the chains and all that stuff, and looks like there's some BDSM stuff going on with a gigantic pot and fire and all. I'm not trying to burn down my rental home, but I would like to fry one year.
Okay. I like a smoked turkey.
I have had that. When I go to a barbecue place, I'm not against getting turkey, by the way.
I'm not either. I've had it at a couple of these places.
Or pit turkey, like at Boog Powell's up at Camden Yards. It is fantastic.
I've had turkey at a couple of the places on my barbecue journey.
Good.
Mostly, I'm like, my number one choice is usually brisket. But sometimes if you've eaten brisket 6 times in one day, you need something a little bit lighter than more brisket. So you go with some turkey.
I was going to ask you about that, and Mike Liebeschock and A.J. Hoffman at Saloon Door in Webster. They're doing the Alzheimer Foundation Longest Day Beer Olympics. Get on down here and compete. They're definitely cornholing out there. I can't see what else is going on, but there's a lot of cornholing going on for sure. You've got this barbecue thing going on. I assume you and Fred talk about it. You make a weekend of it. It seems to me like a test of endurance. Does it get to a point where if you're knocking out 7 or 8 barbecue joints in a day where it all starts to taste the same and gets a little bit gray?
No.
I can't imagine.
No, I listen, I'm a I'm not like a connoisseur. I don't think I'm some sort of I'm not uppity. I know what I know. I do like to eat a lot of smoked meats. I know good smoked meats when I taste it.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I feel like I can differentiate between good barbecue and bad barbecue, and good barbecue and great barbecue. And
okay, fair enough.
For instance, when the last trip that I did, where I did 6 in one day.
Mm-hmm.
The best of the 6 that I did in one day was the 5th one that I did.
Oh, wow. So your palate is that sophisticated that you can compartmentalize
Yes.
over the course of a long day of...
Yeah. So, like, I've had that day I'd had good food all day and some really good food. And I took one bite of that brisket and I said, that is great brisket. That is great.
He mentioned... last segment that Matt Stoney ate 85 moon pies in 8 minutes in September. To me, that's like running the Preakness the week before the Belmont. I don't know how these guys – that's got to take something out of you. You lose a little piece of yourself.
You think it's foolish to to do something like that?
They're having – if you go to eatfeats.com, there's a calendar that lists all the food challenges going on around Houston. I had no idea there was this kind of gluttony, competitive gluttony going on. They're going to be –
What would you be the best at?
A place called Beavers. Actually, they have 2 locations. They're doing a no-holds barbecue eating contest held in a steel cage on the 4th of July.
Oh, boy.
To amp it up a little bit more.
Ooh.
What would I be best at?
I thought you already said Beaver.
I do what I can. Cobbler.
Tyler, let's get Mike's wife on the phone. Yeah. I want to know.
There's a cobbler eating contest.
What kind of cobbler?
I don't think it matters. George Ranch Historical Park in Richmond on the 4th of July. I could get
Is there an
that.
Entry fee?
That's a great. I don't. They don't list them. They don't list the entry fee. Actually, there's a link. I lied. I don't see one.
But you have to be a
you
member of a league?
You would have to. There's some of these. A league. Could you imagine?
There is like a professional eating league.
I have no doubt in my mind. These dudes are on a circuit. I mean, you brought up Kobayashi, who's like the Ric Flair of eating, where, you know, I guess Joey Chestnut is the John Cena.
Yeah.
Does that sound legit?
Yeah.
A lot of these don't list an entry fee. They just say, you know, if you can eat like the Kaplan Agent Nick's, we've been through that a billion times. There's a like a 20-pound pho contest. If you can eat a 20-pound bowl of Vietnamese pho.
You call it pho?
Isn't it? Or pho?
I go pho.
I've heard it both ways.
What do you go, Tyler?
Pho.
Pho, yeah.
Yeah. I knew a guy who ate tons of it back in Baltimore. He was the pho king.
No, I think that's he's the pho.
He was very careful.
Easy.
That's what I'm saying. 4-pound pho contest at Enamis Challenge in Houston. I see that, like, a 6-pound burger sounds easy, but I would imagine on the plate in front of you.
Burger I'm pretty good at.
So you know better. You've done this kind of thing. Does fried food ruin you? Like, what is it that will ruin a challenge for you?
Fried food hurts. Lots of
I don't think bread would get in the way.
Bread's a problem. Bread's problematic. Any starch is problematic. So one of the challenges I did was like this giant burger that had grilled cheese sandwiches for buns, and it was covered in chili, and there was a pound of French fries with it. And the burger turns basically the fries into chili cheese fries.
Oh.
But by the time you get to those fries, they're kind of cold, and the cheese is sort of coagulated, and it makes eating those fries very difficult. So eating a lot of burger or pizza is one thing, but it's when you start adding in like extras.
Yeah.
That's when it's bad.
I used to watch Adam Richmond on Man vs. Food. It always seemed like with straight proteins, he was fine. But when you add in the fried bread or whatever, he was screwed. Have you been to Central Texas-style barbecue in Pearland? Is that on your list?
I've not.
6-pound barbecue meal, double baked potato with a pound of sausage and a pound of chopped beef.
Coincidentally, that was
sound doable.
That was the only barbecue place in Pearland for a while until Killens came along.
Until Killens came
around.
That place is now forgotten.
Oh, of course.
I mean, they still serve good food. They still have a line out the door, usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. How do they compare?
It's definitely a different style of barbecue. Like, they're not making brisket like Killens does.
Okay. Well, that's
Their
why
ribs
they
are
say,
good, though. Their ribs
when
are
they say we're serving chopped beef.
Yeah, they
like
have. I mean, they still have sliced beef and chopped brisket, but.
Whenever possible, I don't mess with chopped beef because chopped beef is like all the leftover. Yeah. From them
it's
cutting
like the stuff
brisket.
That falls on the floor.
It's all the stuff that people don't want to eat with their brisket. And
it's the hot dog of
it's the hot dog of barbecue.
Oh,
that's
nice.
What it is.
When
they just throw a bunch of sauce on it.
You mentioned Applebee's earlier. When I was in Lexington, which is a college town, obviously University of Kentucky is there. The only place I ever worked where the alcohol mix was higher than the food mix in terms of sales. They would bring in these 21-year-olds and drink the bar mat. Did you ever do that when you were 21? Tyler,
no.
This might be up your alley.
Negative.
No.
The bar mat. This is when they come in at the end of a night and take the mat that's all around the bar, under the taps, of where they make drinks at, and they would wring it all into a glass.
I've seen
it
that.
Like the hot dog, it's like the hot dog of mixed drinks.
I've seen that administered to somebody for their birthday, though.
Would
they
you drink that when you were 21?
Matt Damon.
Would
I
have?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I was
all.
That stupid. I think I was beyond that point. That stupidness had worn off. But about every 2 weeks we had one of those, and it never ended well.
Man, when I was in the Army, I was 21, and like my last year in the Army, I feel like maybe I would have done something like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that there's no good way for that to work out, though.
It never did.
It can't work
it
out
never
well.
Did.
But when you're making like. You know, 25 grand a year, whatever you make when you're in the Army. I don't know what it was, but it ain't much. Sometimes you'd probably contemplate that. You'd say, you know, it's a free drink?
No.
All right.
Not all things are for your good.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. you want to spend more time outdoors in the summertime, that's what we like to do. But if you've got a faded pool deck or a grayed out patio, maybe it's not as nice out there as it could be. That's where Allied comes in with carved stone overlay. Gets you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. Looks great. Twice as strong as concrete. And Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects. And they offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. It's no wonder they're accredited IP installer since 2010. Their Best Pick Report certified each of the last 5 years. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay. You'll get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery, AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.